In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. Renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 6, The Existence of God. Okay, we have two pictures on this lesson. The first one we see, I think that's Adam and Eve right there in the center. We see our Lord, popes, various saints. We see Native Americans. I'm sure that they wrote this. I would probably consider those to be Indians, but they are Native Americans, different Native peoples there. And under the picture, the caption says, Adam and Eve, our first parents, knew God in the Garden of Paradise. God spoke to the patriarchs and prophets and gave them messages for the rest of men. God gave the commandments to Moses. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, came and taught about God. All right, so all peoples throughout all times have been instructed in the existence of God. And the other image, we see, it looks like some, islander peoples or some tribe, offering sacrifice. We see some goats being offered there, flowers, they're carrying bread and food, incense burning probably. And the caption says, from Adam and Eve down to the present, all men have acknowledged the existence of God. Even pagans and primitive peoples recognize a supreme being, a God. They have sacrifices and they worship some deity whom they recognize as superior and supernatural on whom man depends. Right, so wherever we go in the world, they may have false gods, they may have a false worship, but everywhere we go, people believe in some supernatural being, except for, I guess, our day when we have the modernist atheists. But I might even conjecture that the atheist in our day has a belief in some superior being, if they call it Mother Earth, maybe. And so they believe in something outside of themselves or above themselves. Nature, the whatever they want to call it, but man cannot help but recognize that he is not the highest. He's above all the rest of creation, but he must have a creator. There must be someone, something above him. And of course, as Catholics, we know that that one being is God, who is the creator of all things. All right, so the existence of God. The first question, how do we know by our reason that God exists? All right, I did present, I believe, earlier, in an earlier lesson, that the theological arguments, the first proof, or the greatest proof of a theological argument, is if we can find that God has said it. It is recorded in Scripture. The second proof of importance after Scripture comes tradition, and thirdly, we have reason. All right, so here apparently we're starting out proving the existence of God with the weakest argument, reason. So if I go back here, how do we know by our reason that God exists? We know by our reason that God exists because of 1, the existence of the world, 2, the order and harmony of the whole universe, and 3, the testimony of our conscience. How does the existence of the world prove the existence of God? The existence of the world proves the existence of God because it could not have come into existence by itself. Everything in the world had a beginning. Men, animals, plants, the earth, planets, and stars. All had a beginning. They could not have come into existence by themselves. They must have been made by someone who had no beginning. Planets and men could no more have made themselves than a watch can make itself. And I like this argument here. I've seen it in other books as well. The astronomer Kirchner had a friend who denied the existence of God. During a visit one day, this friend saw a globe in the study of the astronomer. "This is an interesting globe," said he. "Who made it?" "Why," replied Kirchner, "it just made itself." The friend had a hearty laugh at the idea. Kirchner asserted, "It would be much easier for a little globe like that to make itself than for the immense globe of the earth to create itself." And so it's showing how foolish the atheists are, those who deny the existence of God. They don't want to believe that a tiny wooden globe can make itself, but they want us to believe that the entire creation, the earth, the planets, the stars, they all just are. Paragraph 2 there. When we see footprints on the sand, we conclude that someone has passed that way. The universe is filled with the footprints of a supreme creator. Every single existing thing or being gives clear testimony of him. A light cannot kindle itself. After it is kindled, it will go out in a few hours. But the light of the sun in the heavens has burned for thousands of years and continues to burn. One of the things I like to see is that no matter how small we look with the tiniest objects through a microscope, and then we look out into the vast universe with a telescope looking at broader things. When the scientists draw these images on a piece of paper, they look very much the same. If you draw a solar system with the sun in the middle and the planets rotating around them, or you see what the scientists draw on the atomic level with the electrons and protons or cells, we see very similar structures, and we see very similar things in the species. I point out in biology they always like to show you the fetuses of a bird or a reptile and then a human, see how they are all the same. This proves evolution. I says, nonsense. What this proves is that they were all created by the same being. It's the same design, with variations in the design. Okay. But we won't get into that now. How do the order and harmony of the universe prove the existence of God? They lead us to infer the existence of a supreme architect and preserver of surpassing skill. The heavenly bodies go along their appointed courses age after age. The seasons succeed one another year by year. There is splendor, beauty, arrangement, and order everywhere. The whole universe is governed and preserved by immutable law. And so, as we see, the seasons come and go in their appointed time, and everybody could argue that we have global warming, that seasons are changing. There's always been variation in the time, and perhaps I can even argue that the variation is not in the seasons, but it is in our way of calculating the season, or calculating the year, or what time of the year it is. If you plant an orange seed, you are certain an apple will not spring from it. Every morning, you are sure that the sun, when it rises, will appear in the east. At night, you can go peacefully to sleep, assured that after your rest, the day will come again. To say that this universal order is the result of accident, or that the planets direct their own courses, is as foolish as to say that an automobile goes sensibly around the city streets running itself. I guess if, Google and Elon Musk and all these people in Silicon Valley have their way, they may be able to accomplish that, but then again, the automobile is not going to be running itself. It will have been programmed by a human being, by an intelligent being, with directions of where it's supposed to go, when it's supposed to stop, the directions it's supposed to take. So even these autonomous vehicles are not completely autonomous. All right. The heavens show forth the glory of God, and the firmament declareth the work of his hands. Psalm 18:2. God is the intelligent cause. Long ago the pagan Cicero said, "When we contemplate the heavens, we arrive at the conviction that they are all guided by a being of surpassing skill." And Cicero also said, "There is no nation to be found so savage as to be ignorant of the existence of God." The great astronomer Newton often uncovered and bowed when God's name was uttered. Right, so wherever we look, we see that all men, even the most primitive, have a belief in a supreme being, except those who claim to be the most intelligent. The atheists are the only ones in the entire world who claim there is no supreme being, that there is no God. How does the testimony of our conscience prove the existence of God? By our conscience, we can distinguish right from wrong. Our conscience approves the right and condemns the wrong. Thus, within ourselves, there is a recognition of a supreme lawgiver to whom we are responsible, who will reward the good we do and punish the evil. Only the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." Psalm 13:1. Those who persist in denying the existence of God in spite of external and internal testimony are atheists who are eaten up by pride or live vicious lives or both. Of them our Lord said, "Seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, neither do they understand. For the heart of this people has been hardened, and with their ears they have been hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their mind, and be converted, and I heal them." Matthew 13:13-15. Right, so we started with reason, and we ended up with Scripture here. And our Lord is pointing out that the atheists, those who will not believe, they are not blinded by God, they are blinded by themselves because they choose not to see. It is their pride and vanity that are blocking the path of their seeing and hearing and understanding. They have a preconceived notion, and that blocks them and prevents them because of their pride. If they were to acknowledge that there must be a supreme being, that would mean that they were wrong, and their pride does not want to admit that they're wrong. And it was a kind of demonic pride, vanity, that they could stand before the world boldly and say, "You see, I am so smart, I am so intelligent, that I know that there is no God." That's religion is for women and children, the ignorant, the foolish. "I am educated beyond that, and I am so intelligent that I don't fall for this stuff." And that pride and vanity blinds them so that they cannot see because they've chosen not to see it. They have a preconceived notion, there is no God, so all the proofs of God they dismiss, they cannot see, they cannot comprehend. And it's not that God has blinded them, it is that they have blinded themselves. So even though they saw Christ and they saw Christ work miracles, they will deny that he is God, that there is something supernatural going on here, but they will try to argue that there is some natural explanation for it. In the scripture where we see that there was, the sun stood still in the sky, well, they have some kind of, you know, natural explanation for it. Or when Christ performed a miracle, oh, that was just some kind of trickery or deception, or there's some natural explanation for it. Even the man that our Lord, maybe it was our Lord, I can't remember, our Lord or the apostles, directed someone for their cure to wash in this particular rivers. Well, we've got rivers at home. We've got water here. Why this particular? And then the atheist will say, well, there were some particular minerals in that water that were a healing agent for that particular disease or situation. And if they would bathe in this, and we know that, yes, mineral baths have been around for a long time, and everyone knows their, or at least many people claim their healing and health benefits. And so they want to use that as some kind of argument that Christ did not truly perform a miracle, that the saints did not truly perform a miracle, that they were practicing some kind of natural healing, natural health, something along those lines. And they will go to great extremes trying to deny the very existence of God. And they might even pretend to humility and say, well, I don't know how, but I am certain that this is has a natural explanation. This is not a supernatural thing. And of course, if God strikes them with lightning, they will just say that was just a coincidence. Lightning strikes. Happens all the time. People get struck by lightning quite frequently. I don't know the numbers, but we could argue that it had nothing to do with who the person was or what they were saying or what they were doing. But I think those who were standing there boldly denouncing God and struck by lightning, I think God is trying to tell them something. But the atheist is not going to see, not because God has blinded them or blocked their ears or hardened their hearts. They have done this to themselves. It is because they've chosen this. And so many people want to know, what is the sin against the Holy Ghost? This sin that cannot be forgiven. And I think you see it here in the pride and vanity of the atheist. I'm not going to tell you that atheism is the only sin against the Holy Ghost that can't be forgiven, but it is that pride, that vanity, that denies that God can do these things or denies the very existence of God. Right? So if you deny the existence of God, you have sinned against God. You've sinned against the Holy Ghost. If you deny that God is not powerful enough to forgive you your sins and you fall into despair, you have denied God. You have denied the Holy Ghost. But this is not God blinding or condemning these. This is the act of the individual choosing not to believe, not to see. And as we see, there are many arguments on the rational, logical level that we can use that show that God exists. But as I pointed out, this is the weakest of the arguments. Though the world, the atheists, are going to hold this up as the most important, the highest, or the greatest proof of things because it is logical, because it is rational. And that, theologically, is the weakest argument. Above this, we have tradition. And we see that throughout history, throughout all times, man has always believed in a supreme being and has offered sacrifice, worship, praise, thanksgiving to a supreme being. Even if they were mistaken in the identity of God, they still believed in a God. But ultimately, when Christ came and Christ has said, that is the greatest proof. Christ has said it, here it is, there's no discussion anymore. God has manifested himself. He told us what we are to believe, and that's the greatest argument I can give in favor of any theological position. Okay. Do we have any questions, comments? Anybody in a hurry? Do we need to go take two lessons, or are we doing fine the way we are? Sister's in no hurry. I don't really want to rush through this because I don't see any need to. We're in this, looking at this, for our education, but also for our spiritual benefit. And too often, I think we read spiritual books, trying to get to the end, and that's blinds us from getting any real merit, any real benefit from it. And I often tell people these books of meditation, just read a chapter, read a few pages, and then close the book and think about what you've read. And that will do much more for you than getting to the end of the book and say, okay, I've finished this book. And so that's what I'm hoping we can make out of this catechism series that we're going through now, that it will be more of a spiritual meditation rather than, okay, we've covered all these things and now we're done. Our faith is always able to increase. The love of God can always increase within us. And, you know, what is the goal of our catechism but to increase the faith, increase the love of God in the hearts of those we're trying to instruct and hopefully of ourselves. The teacher benefits often just as much as the children, if not more. Or I should say student. All right. So let us end with an act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et mania semper. Amen.
Thank you, Your Excellency.